This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Mafumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk about One Goal. And it's an organization that is addressing the opportunity gap by supporting high school students in realizing their college and post-secondary dreams. And here to tell us all about it is the CEO of One Goal. Happy to have her with us, Melissa Connolly. Melissa, welcome to Make It Plain. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Tell us about One Goal.
So One Goal has been working on ensuring that all young people have an opportunity to achieve their greatest post-secondary aspirations for the last 17 years. We were founded in Chicago and have been doing this work for thousands of students across the country to ensure that ultimately kids have a real opportunity to chase their dreams.
Is that still a challenge? Are we still finding that a number of young people aren't getting the opportunities to go into post-secondary education as they should?
There are massive disparities. So if you are a low-income student, you are three times less likely to earn a degree than your high-income peers.
And does that track, do those students tend to track with the same demographics of students that we often find still in de facto segregated school systems?
Sadly, yes. All of the same patterns that we see in terms of employment, in terms of access to family-sustaining wage are true in education. Currently, 45% of Black children go to high-poverty primary and secondary schools compared to 8% of white students. And what we see at high-poverty schools is that there's incredible resource constraints. And so there's just not the same amount of staff of support that's available to students to help them answer the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And when students who have less get less, you only perpetuate inequities across our country.
So tell us how One Goal helps these young people. How does it help young people overcome this challenge?
So we start working with students when they're juniors in high school, and we spend about 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week with a credit-bearing course where students actually get credit towards high school graduation, where they pursue their purpose and the impact that they want to have in the world. And so we start with a really introspective experience where young people really figure out who they are and what gives them drive and where they hope to put their talents into the future. And then they do real research to understand what post-secondary pathways can get you there. Are there bachelor's, associates, certification programs, trade schools that ultimately can get you to a place where you can have a career with a family-sustaining wage that gives you real value in your life? So we support students throughout their entire junior year through this credit-bearing elective. And then we don't stop there. We continue to support students through their senior year where the work becomes much more practical. It's all about, have you completed financial aid forms? Have you applied to various schools? Have you met people on campus so that they can ultimately matriculate successfully? And we continue that mentorship to make sure that they get off to a strong start.
Finding their purpose, I presume that includes engaging students on whether or not they've ever even considered college life. I guess for some, it's an option they probably didn't think they even had.
Yeah, now that we've done this work for more than a decade, we have learned that it's not enough to just tell a young person to go to college. If they don't understand why they're there and what they hope to get in return, then the first time they come up against a significant barrier or there's a gap in their financial aid package and there's a bill that they owe, it's too easy to not have a really good reason to stick it through. And so after years of doing this work and seeing students ultimately overcome so many barriers, even just to get to the front door of school, but then to see them not be successful because they really didn't understand their own personal why, it forced us to rewrite 1,400 pages of curriculum really through the lens of ensuring that students have an identity-affirming opportunity to explore their purpose. Because without purpose, nothing else matters.
Yeah. And you mentioned the trades as well. So that means, I guess everybody doesn't need to go to college, doesn't want to go. Some folks are built, no pun intended, to pursue the trades. But if you don't even know that's an option, I was with some of the unions at the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists the other week, and we were having a conversation about some of the despair that young Black men are facing these days and trying to find their way. And one of the things we talked about, and I'm with sitting around a table with all of these successful union men with careers, and they worked 25, 30 years and now have pensions and taking care of their families. And I said, maybe we need to tell more of the stories of where some of you all came from, how you came up and didn't think you were going to have anything, but you got into an apprenticeship program and were successful in your career. So if someone don't go to college and has an opportunity to join a trade in a trade union, that's nothing to shake a finger at.
I couldn't agree more. When I started in education more than 20 years ago, the conversation was all about the bachelor's degree, right? Bachelors are bust. You're not a four-year student, then you're not going to be successful. And sadly, we spent decades, I think, writing off a generation of young people who wanted something different and saw a different purpose for their lives. And what I stand behind now as the CEO of One Goal and as a mom of a teenager themselves is that here's what I know to be true. A high school diploma in and of itself is insufficient at providing real opportunities to provide for your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The bachelor's degree was always just a proxy for the other things we care about. It was a proxy for whether or not students could be gainfully employed. It was a proxy for whether or not they would participate in a democratic society. It was a proxy for often whether or not they would find a partner and stay in a relationship and build a family. But it was always a proxy. And at some point, I think as educators, we lost our way because we treated that proxy as if it was the ultimate reward and the only symbol of success. And thank goodness, I think over the last decade, we've all expanded our viewpoints in many ways in direct response to our young people saying, hey, I want more options. I don't want just this four-year traditional pathway. I want to go to school for a year and then work for a year, or I want to build certifications over time while I provide for my family. And they've really pushed us to think much more expansively about multiple pathways to opportunity and not take this dogmatic approach to what success is, but let them define success for themselves. That's really where the power is.
I was fortunate in my high school to have college counseling and college advisors. That's on the decline now, though, these days, isn't it?
So the average high school student receives 38 minutes of advising during high school. 38 minutes. Imagine what you can learn about someone in 38 minutes. Imagine the kind of information that you can share with them. You're not going to get to know biggest dreams are, what their deepest fears are, what the challenges that they're coming up against, often that are born from poverty. You will barely scratch the surface, maybe hand them a few pamphlets and send them on their way. Our young people deserve and require intrusive, comprehensive, holistic curricular experiences that really help them explore who they are and what they want in the world. And that's just not happening in our schools today.
Is that 38 minutes because of budget cuts or because of a mentality and a culture that says these kids ain't trying to go to school anyway, or both?
Yes and yes. We still have a chronic challenge in our country around this question of who deserves or who gets to go to school beyond grade 12. And sadly, there's a lot of incredibly oppressive but longstanding mindsets about who gets to go. And typically, when you do hear conversations about colleges and everyone, often people are saying, college is for my kid, just not your kid. And it is we are long overdue in understanding that all students deserve some opportunity to pursue a credential or degree or certificate beyond grade 12. All young people, regardless of who they are, where they come from, what they look like. And sadly, we have not overcome that mindset. And then you add on top of that high poverty schools that have extreme resource constraints, where often the counselor to student ratio is upwards of 500 to 1. If there's even a counselor in the building, and you start to see how these inequities just become self-perpetuating.
If there's a shortage of healthcare professionals and nurses in these buildings and therapists, there's definitely going to be a cut when it comes to college counseling. So that's shameful unto itself. Folks, the National Association for College Admission Counseling reports that 74% of young adults believe there is bias involved in college admission office decisions. And 72% feel that the process clearly advantages the wealthy and privileged. If the young people feel that way, some of the adults probably do too and have given up. That's devastating. So folks don't have a shot from the very beginning with that type of thinking and those types of beliefs. Not to say those beliefs are invalid. First of all, young people feeling that way and believing that in that high number, are they right? How true is that feeling?
We see it in the data, right? We continue to see that Black students, Latinx students do not enroll at the same rates as their white counterparts, even often when they have the same academic background. They do not persist at the same rates, and they do not compete at the same rates. And that's not political. That's just the data, right? And our kids are smart. People forget that. Right? Our kids are brilliant. They're paying attention. They're seeing students who look like them go off to school and come home without a degree and with debt. And that's a problem. And so, sadly, even if those mindsets weren't justified, which, again, I would argue the data justifies them, if that's what you're seeing in the world, it is only going to reinforce this mindset that higher education wasn't made for you. It wasn't built for you to be successful. And truly, that's what we're trying to disrupt at the systems level with our work at One Goal. But we also recognize that another way to address this is by really deeply investing in our young people and helping them see that the challenges are with the system and not with themselves. Right. It's when you personalize the failures, the challenges, the ways in which you may have to stop out so that you can have a job like I did to be able to pay for your next semester of books. That's the challenge comes when you internalize that and it becomes something that is a flaw or wrong with you as opposed to a challenge or something that's wrong with the system that needs to be changed. And by educating our young people, by helping them be aware of how the system operates, of the power that they have, it is incredible what they can and will overcome.
So if you don't mind, let's role play a bit. I'll be a student, which is, of course, believable because I look so young. And you're at One Goal. So I'm saying to you, Dr. Connolly, there's no shot for me. I've even been reading in the news about the decline in affirmative action and how that's been weaponized to keep students of color like me out and DEI. No school is going to let me in. So what do you say back to me as that student?
I would say I sat across the table from a student who said the exact same thing to me 1 year ago today and currently has a 4.0 GPA at Dominican University in River Forest. It's not just possible. In some ways, it's inevitable. When it's someone who is as brilliant as you, someone who is as informed as you, the fact that you even know those statistics, the fact that you're even paying attention and know what you're up against, it tells me that you have more than what it takes to be successful. And here's the reality. If not you, then who? If not you, then who? And the good news is, unlike so many young people across the country, you don't have to do it alone because One Goal has your back. Mm.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So what does that mean? One Goal has my back. What, first of all, how does a student get into One Goal? And then what support is One Goal giving throughout the process? And I presume when you say has the student's back, that extends once they're even in college and rehab, correct?
That's right. So One Goal partners with high schools across the country, and we select incredible teachers. So often they're high school teachers who are already in the building teaching chemistry, teaching math. Every high school has that teacher that they just love, that pours into them, that cares a little more. And those teachers become One Goal teachers. And we train them on our curriculum and our program, and we provide them with data and resources and technology and tools to be able to support their young people throughout their post-secondary journey. And so that teacher becomes one of the One Goal representatives that's in their corner. But then we also have what we call directors of teacher support, who are visiting the classroom, who are meeting one-on-one with students, who are helping problem solve when there's challenges with financial aid and filling out FAFSA with students. And then when that student graduates high school and begins their post-secondary journey, they continue to receive direct mentorship, both from that program director, but also from One Goal staff, who is ensuring that they don't just pass the baton to a higher education and institution and cross their fingers, but that they actually get off to a strong start, that their first few semesters in school get them the right momentum they need to ultimately finish their degree, credential, or certificate.
You all also help advise on financial aid and FAFSA and all that. And sometimes that can be a little bit intimidating for young people and for their parents. Talk to us about how you're helping to navigate FAFSA and student loans, which is a big issue. It's gotten so big, the issue of student loans, that even that's intimidating. Folks don't want to be saddled with debt. How does One Goal help with that?
Quick aside from me that I think is always important. Anytime we get into the conversation of financial aid and supporting our young people, I always want to take the opportunity to remind anybody who will listen that we know in our country that some education beyond grade 12 is required for students to have real opportunity for a family sustaining wage. And yet we only publicly fund school through grade 12, which honestly is outdated and I believe unjust. And so I would love to continue to elevate a conversation around creating more opportunities for publicly funded free education beyond grade 12 so that we can begin to address the major equity gaps in our country. I think it's what our kids deserve, and it's being honest to them about what education it takes to ultimately be successful and have a career that's economically viable. Now, absent that kind of reform and transformation in our country, the good news is we are taking some steps in the right direction of simplifying the financial aid form, reducing some of the barriers that have typically prevented low-income students in particular, but also students that have other identity markers, like students who don't have a Social Security number or students who don't speak English, that in the past has just prevented them from being able to easily and effectively complete the financial aid form and have access to financial aid. And what we've recognized is that when students have an adult in the corner who can help reduce some of the fear and anxiety about sharing financial information and really walk them through and educate them, build financial literacy, then they have the basic foundation that they need to ultimately pursue higher education. Currently, we're seeing across the country with the most recent FAFSA challenges, only 44% of high school seniors actually completed a financial aid form. And at One Goal, more than 80% of our young people completed their financial aid form. And so what we know this kind of personalized attention works and it helps our young people overcome some of the anxiety and the fears required or that come up often in pursuing financial aid. And sadly, it's what we know all kids deserve, but aren't necessarily getting that kind of support.
Folks, one goal is doing very important work. Now, your disbelief in my youthful appearance noted. There is also an equal amount in disbelief. Looking at from your appearance, knowing your story, you were truant, is what I'm understanding from your story. And yet here you are, a CEO of One Goal. You have your master's in education administration. I think I gave you a doctorate too.
I got two masters, so I feel like we could round up to it.
Yeah, we can do it. We know the Black church, everybody's a doctor anyway. And I'm known for conferring doctorates. But again, that betrays all of that. So talk to us about, because that's a hell of a story in of itself. Talk to us about how you came from your background and being a truant student to being CEO of One Goal and also getting a master's in education at that.
So I'll start with my mom. She's an incredible woman, but had a very tough life and sadly battled addiction and trying to raise six kids, mostly on her own. And somewhere around eighth grade, I realized that if I didn't go to school, no one really noticed. And so I stopped going and I missed more than 60 days of school in eighth grade. And sadly, as our system does, it just passed me along to the next institution. But when I enrolled in high school and I got my schedule, I saw some of the normal courses you would expect, English, math, and then I saw a class that said TAP. And as naive as an eighth grader often is, I thought, oh, high school has tap dancing. That's exciting. But TAP stood for Truancy Abatement Program. And the way the Truancy Abatement Program worked is, instead of taking a credit-bearing course, you were in TAP and you would show up at 8:10 when the school day would start and there would be a police officer in a classroom and he would check your name off a list if you were there. And if you weren't, he would call the police station and send a cop to your house to come pick you up and take you to school. Now, the significant flaw with this program was that because you weren't taking a credit-bearing course and all of the other kids were, it meant you were actually already automatically behind and therefore off track of even graduating high school on time because you couldn't earn the amount of credits you need to actually graduate high school on time. So the kids who are already troubled, who are already lost in so many ways, it made it worse. It made it harder for them to be successful. I was blessed, I'm telling you, blessed when an angel, Mrs. Jeter, walked into my life and stopped me in the hallway and asked me what was wrong because she could clearly tell I was wearing the weight of the world on my shoulders. And I broke down in tears and said, I don't want to be a TAP kid. I know what that means. I know what that label means. I don't want to be a TAP kid anymore. And she said, if you really want something different for yourself, I'll tell you who you need to talk to, what you need to say, and how to self-advocate so that you can get into a class where you can earn credit and can graduate high school on time and can potentially go to college. And so this one educator completely changed not just my life trajectory, but the life trajectory of my family. I know my own children are going to pursue higher education as a result of me being able to access that kind of support. And so education to me is the one intervention that doesn't just impact the recipient, it impacts literally generations to come. But it took someone to see me. It took someone to invest in me. And since then, I have been on a mission to make sure that kids like me don't have to be lucky that they ran into a Miss Jeter. We can systematize that kind of support. We can provide the kind of intrusive advising and holistic care that our young people deserve at scale if we're intentional about it.
Yeah. How are you partial to students or do you encourage students to go? Because you coming from that and then actually going into education, that says a lot. Most of us, even if we want to go to college, we want to get away from that field. But you doing that, when kids come to One, young people come to One Goal, are you partial to, or do you try to espouse the value in actually pursuing an education career, which we also know for the demographic of young people you help, there aren't enough of us in the field. And I always like to say to you, I come from a family of educators going back to the 30s. And at one time, especially in the Black community, being a school teacher was as prestigious as being a doctor or a lawyer, even before we could become doctors or lawyers. That was, if you were a minister or a school teacher, you had high stature, not because you made a lot of money, not because of anything else, but because of the importance of that role. So are you finding and inspiring young people to pursue, like you, careers in education?
I would love for more people who look like me, who have the experience that I have growing up, to be in our schools, without a doubt. And the first Black educator I had was as a freshman in college. I went my entire K-12 public school experience without having a single Black educator in my life, right? And you know the quote, you cannot be what you cannot see. And that is a real problem in education, is we have not been able to attract, retain teachers of color, teachers who have come from poverty, because it's not a lucrative profession, right? And so it's all justifiable. I understand why we're in the situation we are in, and our young people need to see themselves in their educators. And so I would love for more One Goal Fellows to join in this movement, to do this work, to become educators. And we rewrote our mission statement a few years ago because we used to talk about a student should pursue a degree or should close the degree divide. And now we talk about everything being rooted in a student's, their own post-secondary aspirations. Because if you don't love what you're doing, if it doesn't bring you joy, if it's not bringing you fulfillment, it's not going to make you successful, right? People often think successful people are happy. It's happy people who are successful, right? And so people really do have to pursue their joy and their love. And so I will always encourage a student to know themselves first and find the career that is most fulfilling to them. But if any of our young people want to join in this work as an educator addressing some of the biggest inequities in our country, I would welcome them in the fight.
How can young people get involved in One Goal?
I would suggest we start by going to onegoal.org so you can learn more about our work. You can see some of our incredible student success stories. We have students who've been with One Goal who are scientists, lawyers, doctors. I have a One Goal alumni who sits on my national board, just incredible leaders. And so there's a wealth of stories of success, but you can also connect with us directly and bring us to your school and your community. We're doing work all across the country. And I think the reality is the problem is still so large and it's systemic in nature. And the more we can do this work in partnership in communities across the country, the more young people will ultimately get to achieve their goals and their dreams. Definitely visit onegoal.org as the place to start. And hopefully we can be in your school and your community soon.
I pray so, folks. Please do so. Onegoal.org. Check it out. Don't take for granted that young people have all the encouragement and inspiration they need. It's often what we do outside the four walls of the classroom that counts. And I'll just say, on even behalf of some of our teachers, as I mentioned, at one time that was a very esteemed profession, but there are those who have waged war against that profession as well to discourage people being involved in it. And many times teachers are just holding it together, and many of them have to provide their own personal resources on behalf of students where the school systems won't provide those. So every little bit helps. Onegoal.org, check it out. This is very inspiring. I'm inspired, and I hope you are as well. I want to thank the CEO of Onegoal.org for joining us on Make It Plain, Melissa Connolly. Dr. Connolly, we thank you for joining us today, okay?
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, Give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.